Invest offshore with Coronation to access the world's best growth opportunities, whether it's in French luxury goods or Japanese pharmacies. Ask your financial advisor or search Coronation Offshore. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is a registered FSP.
Classic business. Digital economy.
Well, Black Friday, Bleak Friday, Lack Friday, call it what you will. I'm sure many people are tired of it and being bombarded with the sales and the cold calls and the emails and seeing it all over social media. But it's become quite a phenomenon, hasn't it? It's the Friday after Thanksgiving in the US. We've adopted the holiday so gleefully. Holiday, it's really just an opportunity for marketers to get us to spend more. The history is rather interesting, called Black Friday, because it was seen as the day that retailers finally turned their annual loss into a profit and continued to profit from then on until the end of the year, going from the red into the black, so to speak. But it also comes with a very interesting online element to it. And as we've all seen, it's not just a day. There are all sorts of sales online in the build-up. So Black Friday really has become almost a week-long event into Cyber Monday. And what we've also seen is a whole lot of identity theft. Last year, more than 100,000 fake shopping sites were set up over the Black Friday period. So it really has become a minefield for shoppers as well. We've assembled a Black Friday panel just to discuss ways to protect yourself while online, and also how retail is using this online trail you leave behind to actually predict your behavior before you even click. Firstly, Ethel Nyembe is head of card issuing South Africa for Standard Bank. Ethel was previously MD of Diners Club South Africa and a fellow DJ. Ethel, pleasure to have you on the show.
Good evening and thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also on the line is Charles Yuckerman, who's the CEO of Avis Cybersecurity. Charles, good to have you on the show.
Good morning. Hello, Michael. Thank you for having me.
And Matthew Layton, spokesperson for onedayonly.co.za, a very well-known online shopping website that I'm sure does particularly well over Black Friday. Matthew, how are you doing?
Hi, Michael. Very well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Excellent. Ethel, this issue of online fraud, I was looking at a report by Sabric. It really is frightening. Fraud incidents across online and mobile banking apps increased by 75% last year alone. I mean, that's a scarcely believable statistic. So much time and money spent by banks and by retailers on security, but it looks to be having very little impact. What's the major challenge here?
You know, I honestly believe that the fraudsters are changing their methods on a day-to-day basis. They understand the methodologies that the banks as well as retailers are implementing. And as a result, the real factor is that consumers or customers have to be very vigilant. In a sense that ordinarily we would say never give your details on an email. Similarly, now we are saying don't ever give your OTP to someone who even pretends to be from a bank via the telephone, because we see a lot of that happening, and before you know it, even though you've got your card with you, you have lost money.
And Charles, it works equally for retailers. It's not just the consumers. It's retailers that are becoming targets for cyber incidents too, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Charles, yeah?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, very much so. I mean, retailers has got such a fierce competitive environment they work on. So all these new omni-channels and strategies that they are starting is creating customers' new experiences, but at the same time, it's opening up a whole lot of can of worms as well. Things like form jacking, for instance. And the form jacking, in very simple code, is where cyber criminals install a bit of Java code or a bit of code on the payment gateways. And as people check out, they actually cipher off people's credit card details. I'm not even talking about the fake payment gateways where people are alluded into. I'm talking of reputable people that just don't know that they've got weaknesses and code that's been installed on the environments.
Yeah, remarkable. So, yeah, I mean, if you see the amount of innovation that goes into this, one wonders what would happen if we were a country that channeled that energy into more productive pursuits, legally productive, that is. Ethel, to come back to how consumers can protect themselves, to practice safe clicks, so to speak, what are some tips and some top advice for consumers to practice safe clicks?
The top two that come to mind is if you're going to be making purchases or really and truly exposing your card details or your password, please don't use the public Wi-Fi. Rather use a Wi-Fi that you trust. And secondly, always check that you are on a safe site. It will show almost like a padlock. Then you know that you're on the right side where you want to make your purchases. And also always sign up for cell phone messaging. And different banks call it different things. A standard bank would call it My Update, which then tells you what you're purchasing. Because if it's not your purchases, you're able to phone the bank with immediate effect to say these are not my purchases. And then thirdly, always use a strong authentication password. And what that really means is that don't use your birthday or 1234, but rather use a password that you will change as you use different apps in order for you to know that you've got capital letters, small letters, numbers, figures, and so your password is not predictable.
I think too many people do just expect to get through life on one very simple password, and it just, you know, the game has completely changed. From the retailer's side, if we look at how the retailers can protect themselves, Charles, there's obviously, as you said, an increase in attacking retail operators that are seen to be weak. What are the essential tools for protecting their point of sale systems, and what can retailers do to avoid hacking of these systems during periods where there's increased activity like Black Friday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Black Friday there's quite an influx of people into the stores as well, and that in itself means that a hacker that wants to hack into that point of sale and install a little piece of device on top of the point of sale device is so much easier, because people are so busy that they're actually not watching it. So, you know, in our normal circumstances, someone won't walk into your office, but the shop is open, which means that people just simply walk in. And they can go in and change QR codes. So, you know, you get these little barcode scans where you can get the pricing or a landing site of a special or whatever. I mean, they can simply walk in, change that little QR code, and then as you scan it, it will redirect you. You won't even see it. It happens in a split second. It will redirect you to what we call a man in the middle, a website of their own, but they immediately then take you to the original authenticated website that they actually then monitor all the traffic that actually goes between your device and the original device, whoever it may be. So that's one thing. The retailers also have legacy systems in place. And those legacy systems are not always patched the way they should. I mean, a point-of-sale device is nothing else than a little glorified computer. There's no difference between it. It's just a very specialized piece of equipment. And they also need to be protected like you would protect anything else, in the sense of having a very monitor the behavior of what that point of device does. If it's suddenly trying to connect and things like that into the internet, you obviously want to keep it separate from the internet, but you need to monitor what the device is trying to do, and that it's always connecting into the right kind of platforms. So yeah, update the software. It's a piece of hardware with a piece of software in, and the guys just need to like you would do normal updates on computers. Those are some of the basic things I think retailers can do.
Absolutely, and be extra vigilant. Now, Matthew, I know we love to predict things, whether it's the weather in Cape Town, which is completely unpredictable, or whether the Springboks are going to win. Thankfully, a lot more predictable of late. I'm sure you've got a lot of data at one day only on how we shop, how consumers go into Black Friday. What do you see as the most popular categories? What will be the big ticket items tomorrow?
So I think tech is always a really good seller. You know, it's just on the up year after year after year. And that kind of is the thing that people sort of synonymize Black Friday with, I guess. But we try and cater to absolutely everybody. So we have 9 big categories that we make sure we've got products across the board for, to cater to relatively anybody who will come onto the site during the course of the day. So tech is what I'm going to say is the most popular category, but we often get surprised in this regard as well.
What are the big surprises? And equally, what do people tend to complain about?
So at One Day Only, the most interesting complaint that we often get, because our deals are only ever available from midnight to midnight, and because people regularly miss the boat, despite us trying our very best to get them there on the day, we often get people, I guess complain is the wrong word, but structuring a question about whether they can get a deal that subsequently expired into a complaint. One that made me laugh so hard was somebody wrote in and just sent 2 messages. He said, "My dog chewed my keyboard. I couldn't check out. Can I get this deal again?" So you do get those chances, and you have to admire the bald-faced honesty of it all.
As we were saying, there's a lot of innovation that comes with Black Friday as well. Thank you very much. There we have it, our Black Friday Insights panel with Matthew Leeton, spokesperson for One Day Only, Ethel Nyembe, head of card issuing for Standard Bank, and Charles Yuckerman, CEO of cybersecurity company Avis.